you know, there's a lot of people who believe that, you know, there's certain gifts that I get that you don't get. Okay, and that's why I say this is the word gift is a very very misunderstood word, and I'm hoping we can clear this up tonight. And I want to show you that there and part of the misunderstanding is they don't understand that there's two types of gifts. First of all, there's the gifts that every believer gets, and second of all, there's gifts of each that each person gets, but it is their ministry. The gifts that every believer gets the new birth. Everybody gets the Holy Spirit. And everybody gets the ability to operate the Spirit, all right? And people put gift in the Bible where gift don't belong, all right? I just looked at every usage. I promise you, I just looked at every usage in the New Testament of the word gift. And I'm going to show you, we're going to handle some difficult verses about the word gift, and you're going to understand it better. Now, if you run into somebody who still thinks that I got the gift of tongues and you don't, well, you know what? Some people you can reason with and some people you can't. They're going to believe what they're going to believe, okay? But everyone has the ability to operate the Spirit. And God gives each of us the exact same abilities, okay? Period. All right? Now, God gives some people what I would call a long suit, okay? In other words, everybody can speak in tongues and interpret. But some people, when they do it, it's like, wow, man. They do it, right? Okay? Everybody can teach. Everybody can minister healing. That's a good example. Everybody has the ability to minister healing. But some people, God has given them what you might call a gift ministry. Okay? In other words, they have an ability, and really God gives them that ability, honestly, based upon not God saying, I'm going to give this to you. But really based on your believing. And it's you who energizes the gift. Okay? And then based on your believing, yeah, God will give you a long suit in an area. Okay? And sometimes have a long suit in several areas or a bunch of different areas. I mean, there are people, and if you guys have been around Rico, you know, man, that dude can do things that nobody else I've ever met can do. Does that mean you can't, you don't have the ability within you to do them? No. And I aspire to. You know, I mean, someday I'd love to be able to walk around the room and put my hand on everybody's shoulder and tell them stuff, you know, that, I mean, like I said, some of y'all have been around and some of you haven't. I mean, there are some people when they minister healing, wow, man, they can minister healing. Okay, so that's the confusion, is that everybody has all these same ability, but some people have long suits in certain areas, okay? And it's based upon A, their believing, and sometimes it's B, based upon need. As I've said, if there's nobody sick, you don't need gifts of healing. You don't need to heal anybody, all right? We're going to look in the Bible, and you're going to see there's a lot of different areas in the Word that are listed in the Word where God gives people these special abilities. Some people, they give the special ability in the area of just running the show. In other words, there may be an organization that needs to be run well. And so some people have an ability, it's called governments. It says governments. Some people, not talking about being president of the United States, it's talking about running the church or running the ministry, you know, running the organization, okay? I'm hoping that by the end of the day, you'll understand this word much, much better. Let's go to James chapter 1. And listen, sometimes it depends upon the circumstances. It depends upon the circumstances, and also depends upon your function in the body of Christ. And what I'll explain to you is that, I guess it was maybe a month or so ago, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Who was here when I did 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Remember, that's the area where he said, let the women keep silent in the church?
Yes.
Okay, who was here for that?
We were here.
Okay. Well, remember, what that was about, 1 Corinthians 14 was about that everybody wanted to prophesy, everybody wanted to have a word, everybody wanted to talk, everybody wanted to, and what God said was everybody can't do it all the time. So anyway, it also depends upon your function in the body. Like when I'm here, my function here is to teach and to run the show. When I go to Arizona, my function is to sit and listen. And it's somebody else's job, their function in the body, to teach. So see, it also depends upon what your function is. There may be times when your function is to help set up a room and help coordinate an event, but there are other times when it's not, okay? And so some of it depends upon, you know, just kind of the need and the circumstances. I don't know if that's very clear, probably about as clear as mud. but hopefully by the end of the day we'll kind of see it, all right? So we're going to go to James, and there's a couple of important verses that we have to cover that are very important, that they apply to any and every gift that God gives, okay? And first it's James 1:17, which says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now, why does it say that? Why does it say that these gifts come down from God and He doesn't waffle back and forth? You know why? Because the emphasis is on that everybody gets the same gift. Everybody gets the same gift. And part of the gift is verse 18. Part of it is this: "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His," should be creation. So that's part of it. Part of the gift is being born again, and everybody gets that. And every gift that God gives is available to everybody. The next verse is also very important, which is very familiar. I read it a lot. It's Romans 11:29. And Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God's gifts and God's calling. And last week we looked at the word calling. There weren't many of us here, but we looked at the word calling and about how your calling is to be a son of God, is to be a child of God. That's your calling in life. God didn't call you to be a doctor or a lawyer or truck driver or anything else. God called you to be His child. Doesn't mean God won't guide you into the best career path for you, but biblically, your calling is to be a child of God. That's the highest calling there is, and the best calling. So the gifts and calling, God's gifts and God's calling are without repentance. They're irrevocable. God doesn't take them back, and that's the other thing that's important. God doesn't ever take His gifts back. He is never going to give you something and then take it back, ever. It doesn't happen. Let's look at a few usages of gift. And the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to cover usages in the Bible regarding the word gift that talk about the ones that everyone gets: the Holy Spirit, salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, those things. All right? And we're going to start in John 4, verse 10. We'll probably maybe get a little bit of this in context. And this is really has become one of my favorite records, and it's the record of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Because Jesus is foretelling of the new birth. He's foretelling of the gift that everyone is going to receive. And He's foretelling of the fact that you are going to have Holy Spirit, and that everywhere you go, God is there. Everywhere you go. That it's no longer about a place or a building, but it's about what's inside of you. That's what's important, and Jesus is foretelling of this. I've just come to love this record about talking to the Samaritan woman. And if you've heard me teach it, you'll remember the Samaritans were another kind of, I call it, denomination of Jews, okay? That when the Jews were taken off to Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, that some of them stayed behind, and they became basically the Samaritans, all right? And they believed that the holy place was up on a mountain. And the Jews, of course, believed the holy place, and this is important, the holy place is in Jerusalem at the temple. Now, when Daniel was in Babylon, captive in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, every day he would open his windows that faced Jerusalem and he would bow down and pray in the direction of Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem was the holy place. And that's important. It's really important to understand this, that the holy place was Jerusalem. And so that's what they had to do. They had to bow down and face the holy place. All right. But Jesus says things are about to change because the holy place is no longer going to be in Jerusalem or on a mountain or anywhere else. It's going to be in you. That's going to be the holy place. And that's what's so big about this. And he's foretelling about the gift that everyone's going to receive. God doesn't have favorites. And with God, remember, there is no what? Variableness or shadow of turning. He treats everyone the same. So here we are. Let's catch it in context a little bit. Let's go to 4:3. "He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs to go through Samaria." Because if you're going to go from Jerusalem to Galilee, if you don't go through Samaria, it's a long way around. Instead, there's a shortcut you can take that goes through Samaria. So he decided, you know what, we're going to go through Samaria. And then comes he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was noon. It was hot, middle of the day, right? There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now, normally, Jews did not talk to Samaritans at all. And especially, men did not speak to women that were alone. It was really, really frowned upon, okay? Really frowned upon for a woman, for a man to speak to a woman who was by herself. Thus said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the water from the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And again, he's talking about the gift, right? He's talking about, of course, we know the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, I like this. The woman said, hey, I'd like some of that water. I think I'd like some of that. I'd buy that for a dollar. The woman said unto her, him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither I don't have to walk out to this well again, man. Can I have that water so I don't have to walk out here again? Okay, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you've spoken well, for you have no husband. You have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. And the woman said unto him, gee, I perceive that you're a prophet. Wow. He told me some things I didn't know about. Then she continues on, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say, and it's interesting, the context of her saying this is the fact that she says, okay, you're a prophet. Obviously, you're a prophet, so let's talk about it. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain over here worship, nor at Jerusalem over there worship. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, not on the mountain, and not in Jerusalem, but where? In the Spirit. That they shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. And the Father seeks such to worship Him. That's what He wants. It's not about the mountain, and it's not about the temple. It's about what is coming soon. The hour is coming, and now is, when you will receive the gift, and you will worship God in spirit and in truth, with rivers of living water flowing out of you by the Spirit. God is Spirit, verse 24, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and the truth. Man, that's the gift. That's all about the gift. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. We're just going to look at just touch on a few verses that are going to talk about the gift. This number one, gifts to every believer that God gives. Acts chapter 2. Now I'm hot. I was cold, now I'm hot. Anybody else hot? Maybe I'm just heating up. Acts chapter 2. Peter, at the day of Pentecost, is talking about it. Peter's given his first sermon after they get born again. And remember, what did they do when they got born again? They spoke in tongues. So in Acts chapter 2, okay, so in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, that Peter had just he was just telling them about Jesus, and it says in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." He had touched their hearts. "And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That's the gift. Just believe, and you'll receive the gift of Holy Ghost, the gift that everybody gets. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. This is in the house of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, who was the first Gentile to be born again. And it says in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them," what? "Speak with tongues and magnify God." Man. Again, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, there's a good principle here. Let me show you in Acts chapter 8. This is talking about Simon the sorcerer. And it says in verse 17 that Peter was in... Peter, here it is. Peter was here, and he comes down and he lays hands on them. And it says in verse 17, Then laid they their hands on them, and they, the people, received, lambanoed, the Holy Ghost. Remember, means to receive and then utilize. It means, in other words, that's an indication that they, what? Spoke in tongues. And I'll tell you why. And because it says in verse 18, when Simon saw, well, what did Simon see? He saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. What did he see? Well, he had to see the evidence of the Spirit, so he saw what? Them speaking in tongues. He offered them money. Man, I'll give you $100 if you teach me how to do that. Saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." That's another good principle. A gift is what? Remember, a gift is always something that's freely given. You know, sometimes we think, well, I gave them a gift and I'm expecting something in return. That's not really a gift. A gift is given with no expectation of return. You can't buy God's gifts. In fact, they're so valuable, they're priceless. There's no amount of money in the world that you could pay to buy God's gifts. They are priceless. And that's why God has to give them away. Because otherwise nobody would have it. Because nobody could afford it. Nobody could earn it. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. And Romans chapter 5 talks about the free gift. Romans chapter 5 verse 14. Everybody there? Okay. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness or similitude of Adam's transgression." In other words, they didn't even do the same thing as Adam, but they still, what? Had sin. And it says, "And Adam is a figure," or the figure, of talking about Jesus, "of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one," talking about Adam, "many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto," and there should be an article in there, it should say, "the many." In other words, everyone. Verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one," talking about Adam, "to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses," or sins, "unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned," and man reigned, it means, I mean, it ruled, right? It controlled. Death ruled and controlled by one. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one, talking about Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And that means death. That's death. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of, or issuing in, life. That's the gift. That's talking about the gift. Let's look at chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And this is a verse we covered a couple of weeks ago. And this really sets in contrast what a gift is in relation to what you earn. A gift is always free. You cannot earn a gift. You can't, you know, a gift is given to you freely, right? Wages are what you earn. You go to your job and what do? At the end of the day, you say, hey, give me my money. That's what you earn. Verse 23, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what you've earned. You have earned nothing but death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And these are the gifts that everyone gets. Every single person receives these gifts. All right, now let's look at the second type of gift. Let's look at the gifts that each believer's individual ministry. And again, you know, it's called a gift in the Bible, okay? But really, you're the one that energizes it. You're the one that says, God, I think I can do this. And God will say, okay, man, here you go. You do it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because, see, you can get born again and you'll receive Holy Spirit and you can sit on the couch and never do a thing with it. Or you can begin to utilize the gift, to lambano the gift. So, and actually, there's actually a word in the Bible that's received, that's the Greek word dekomai, which actually means to just receive and just to don't do nothing with it. Because see, when you go back to, if you go back to Acts chapter 8, that's what had happened, is that was the first instance where someone had gotten born again and they did not lambano the word. It says they received it, they decomite, it says in verse 14 of Acts chapter 8. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had decomite the word of God, it's like, wait a minute, those people got born again, they didn't speak in tongues. We got to do something about that. And so that, they sent Peter and John down to check on it. And when Peter and John got down there, that's when they laid their hands on and it says they lambanoed. And that's what Simon saw. That they received it, but they didn't manifest it. And when Peter and John went down there, they manifested it. And it actually shows a distinction between the words dekomai and lambano for the two different words for receive. Okay, so we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these are difficult. We're going to cover some difficult passages, and these are some tough areas. Chapter 12, verse 1, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, anybody notice anything about that word gifts? Look real close. It's in italics. It's in italics. And in the King James Version of the Bible, when something is in italics, that means it was added by the translators. Sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're just fine. Sometimes they're not. This is one of the cases where I would say it's not the proper word there. The Greek word is pneumatikos, which means things of the Spirit or spiritual matters. Concerning spiritual matters, pneumatikos. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God wants you to know. He wants you to understand what's going on. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. And it, ministries is the correct word. Yeah, that's actually the correct word, ministries. But the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, he's saying you know, sure, there are differences. You know, everybody can't do exactly the same thing in the body of Christ. There are different ways to serve. That's what that means. There are different ways to serve. All right? And this gifts here is talking about number two, the gifts that you get to God in your service or in your ministry. That's what that's talking about. There are diversities of ways to serve, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries in verse 5, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, ways to operate the Spirit, but it's the same God. Okay? But, verse 7, the manifestation. There's only one manifestation. Remember, there's only one manifestation. For years and years and years, we talked about the nine manifestations. Doesn't say manifestations. It said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. There's one manifestation, and there's nine ways to operate it. And here are the nine. And what determines the nine? What you operate? Two things. Your believing and the need. That's what determines the operation. And this is where people get messed up, as they say, well, because it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing to the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And they will say, well, you got the gift of tongues, but you got the gift of prophecy. It never calls them a gift. Ever. Ever. It calls it what? An operation of the manifestation. It calls it a manifestation. And it says the manifestation is given to who? Everyone. Everybody. Okay? God doesn't give you something He doesn't give me. God doesn't give me something He doesn't give you. As I said, you may have a special ability because of your believing to operate, but God is not a respecter of person. And it depends, again, on what the need is and really what your believing is, okay? Those are the two things. And it doesn't say He gives me one thing and He doesn't give it to you. And it doesn't say He only gives you one thing. But you'll run into those people that they'll say, well, I didn't get that gift. A lot. I mean, it's very, very common. It's very common that you run into people like that. Let's move on. Let's go down to verse 27. In the context of verse 27 of chapter 12 is about the operation of the body. Remember when we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we saw that 1 Corinthians is a correctional epistle, okay? Or a reproof epistle. And what it does is it corrects the things that the Corinthians were doing wrong. And one of the things they were doing wrong is everybody wanted to be the head. We saw that in 14 where everybody wanted to prophesy. Everybody wanted to be the guy up front leading the service. And God said, you can't all do that. And so one of the things they were doing, they weren't understanding that there are different people with different functions in the body. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 addresses that. It even says here in verse 14, look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If your foot says, I'm not the nose, so I can't smell? Somebody says, I'm glad somebody caught that. Okay? The foot says, I want to be the nose so I can smell. Well, you gotta have a foot or you can't get around. I mean, that's the whole point. That's the analogy. That everybody has a job, has a function in the body of Christ. And everybody can't be the nose or you wouldn't be able to go anywhere. Because there wouldn't be any feet.
And it's all important.
They're all important. In fact, the parts that are the least, that we think are the least important, sometimes those are the most important. Have you ever caught your little toe on the bed at night? Don't say anything else about that. If you've caught your little toe on the bed in the middle of the night, you know how important the little toe is. So that's, again, this is a correction epistle, and it is correcting some of the things that were going wrong in Corinth, and where everybody wanted to be the top dog. So, It says in verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues even." In other words, these are all what? Functions within the body. That doesn't mean everybody can't do it. But the people, they use these verses here. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And you know what they'll say? They added it. And that's all Paul wrote. That there are versions of the Bible that add words in. I promise you, they are there. Who will say, are all prophets? Of course not. Are all apostles? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracle? Have all the gifts of healing? Of course not. Do all speak with tongues? That's what they do. They add it in. And they use this to justify, see, I've got the gift and you didn't. Doesn't say that. Remember, what's it talking about? The function in the body and what the need is. Does everybody need to speak in tongues all at once? No. Of course not. Is everybody an apostle? No, not everybody's an apostle. Everybody has their function and position in the body. Does that mean you couldn't do it? Doesn't mean you couldn't do it. But there has to be your believing and the need has to be there. Alright? So this is a difficult section, but this is, if you understand what Corinthians is, that's a correction epistle or a reproof epistle, it makes it easier to understand this section. Okay? And there's another usage in Romans chapter 12 that is very similar to this section in Corinthians. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Okay, any questions about this? I'm sorry, I meant to read verse 31. In verse 31 in Corinthians 12 it says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." And there's the word, gifts, okay? And it talks about gifts of healing. Tongues is a gift. Interpretation is a gift. But what it's a gift in the context of your function in the body. That the long suit that you will have as you operate, as you do your things in the body, or your ministry that you will have. That's right. And I show you a more excellent way, and that's the gift of love. Because everything needs to be done. Whatever you do, whenever you operate, needs to be done walking in love. They all need to be done walking in love. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 12. And you'll see the same thing, the same context in Romans chapter 12. It says here, verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office or function." All right? "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Now, how much grace did you receive?
All.
That's right, all. All grace. So it says, "Having gifts then differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to what? The proportion of faith." Man, you've been given all the faith there is, so when you prophesy as much as you get after it. "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness." These are functions in the body. And they are gifts that God will give you as a long suit because man, that's what you're good at. I mean, isn't it neat? There are people in the body that their function is to show mercy. There are people in the body that their function is to give. There are people in the body that their function is to rule, to, you know, in other words, to be in charge of stuff. To sit up and go, okay, we got to put the chairs up here, and we got to put the podium over there, and we're going to put the band over here, and you see? Some people, that's what they do. They lead, and God is going to help them with the spiritual ability, lead with the Spirit of God, okay? Some people, that's what they are good at. I'm going to read you this section here out of the New Living Translation. And it says in verse 6, "In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Okay? That's pretty cool, huh? But you see, both in Corinthians and in Romans, the context was the one body, and everybody has to have a, everybody has a function within the body, and the body's going to work the best that way. You know, I love it when we minister to people, and we put somebody up here in the front of the room, and we got four or five people, and everybody, when they minister healing, they do it differently. Isn't that cool? Because why? Everybody functions a little differently. It's so neat to see that in action. We're not every, you know, you said, the person before you, they ministered, and you're like, oh man. They said everything I was going to say. I'm not going to. No, there's always, God is always going to give you something different when you minister. That's what's so neat. That's why I just love to do that now. Because everybody's a little different. But they're all effective and they're all walking by the Spirit. All right, so we're in what? Ephesians. I'm not there. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 7, Paul's saying, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. That he had what? We call these sometimes a gift of ministry. Okay? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I probably should have read Ephesians chapter 4 first. And this is talking about, specifically, we call them the gift ministries. And there's five of them listed here, but I just know they're not limited to these five. That anything, any type of ministry that God gives you is a gift ministry. All right, anywhere that you really have a long suit in something, that's a gift ministry. And you run it, and you can have more than one. I know people that have more than one gift ministry. If you look at Rico, that's a good example. Most of us know him. He has a gift ministry of a teacher, but he also has a gift ministry of a prophet, I think, and of an evangelist. You know, an evangelist is somebody who can win people for Christ. And probably, you know, six or eight others, who knows? But, you know, so where are we at? Verse 8. Well, actually, let's back up a little bit. The same thing. Verse 4, there is one body. Here we are, talking about the body. One body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Man, how can you think that God gives me something He doesn't give you if God is really above all, through all, and in you all? How can you think that? But unto every one of us, each one individually, Weymouth translates this, each one of us individually is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So how much did you get? All. Wherefore, He said, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And let's skip down to verse 11, because 9 and 10 are parenthetical. And here's some of the gifts. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And we call these the five gift ministries. But I know that it is not limited to only five. Okay? But this is talking about where God will give you, based upon your believing and the need. You may be in an area where there's hardly anybody who believes. And so what do you need there? You need an evangelist. That's what you need, all right? Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. And what is the purpose of these gift ministries? For the perfecting of the saints. And that Greek word there for the perfecting is katatismo, which means fully equipping. Right? Remember the ship? Fully equipped ship as it goes to sail? For the perfecting of the saints. So the saints can be what? Fully equipped for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body in Christ. That's what God gives these gifts for. And it's been said to me that really it's not a gift that God gives to you. It's a gift that you give to the body as a minister. It's really the gift that you give. That you're the one who's giving the gift. God gives it to you, but then guess what you do? You give it to everybody else. So I hope you have a little bit better understanding today of the gift, okay? And sure, it's confusing. Some of these records we read, they're confusing, especially in the King James and it's easy to see why people interpret things the way they do at times. But if you understand the difference in the two gifts, I think it'll really clarify so many, many things in spiritual matters, that God gives every one of us everything. That's really what it is. God gives everybody everything. God gives, and that's really the best way to say it, isn't it? God gives everyone everything. He gives everyone all. And when you have all, that's what you've got, all. Not all minus a little bit. You've got all. Okay? We'll wrap it up there.